Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line, and we got news. And apparently we're just going to keep kicking this game down the road on here. Our own Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL Insider, tweeted 4 minutes ago, Chiney, Ravens Steelers officially postponed to Wednesday, per source. So the game that never ends and will never be played apparently now gets to move another day as we're getting ready for Monday Night Football tonight with the Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles and thought we were going to get the Tuesday night follow-up. Chiney, this news, I can't imagine what it's like to be a player on either side of this equation. Like, I'm sympathetic to both. We've seen the frustration of the Steelers. But man, oh man, to be this Ravens team and to see countless starters now sidelined because of this, the uncertainty about trying to travel through this situation has to be so daunting.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult. And, you know, we're not, you know, these circumstances are not foreign to athletes. You know this. Like, things happen, especially when it comes with weather. But to be in a scenario where you're dealing with weather, and then on top of it, you're dealing with, you don't know what personnel is going to be available, and then mentally you're trying to prepare yourself to play or at least get the quick turnaround, adding the extra day to Wednesday sort of makes sense. But overall, this is just one of those situations where even potentially as players, you're probably going to start having conversations amongst each other saying, like, dude, like, what are we doing? Like, why can't we just figure something out on our own and be decisive about it? And it seems like the NFL sort of has preempted that whole conversation.
Because we've seen the amount of players, and you're right, Chiney, it's the same but different, right? Like, in so many ways, yes, these scheduling problems and the things have come up. People are, and athletes are used to disruption, but for it to be on this level, because you're looking around now much in the same way the Denver Broncos, who had to play this weekend without their entire quarterback room because of contact tracing. In this instance, if you're the Steelers, I mean, Schefter tweeting 45 minutes ago, the Ravens have now placed Mark Andrews, Matthew Judon, Willie Snead, and Terrell Bonds on the reserve COVID-19 list. Now, again, that list doesn't mean that they have tested positive for COVID-19, but it does mean that they have been contact traced. And so who knows what their status for this game is going to look like because of that. And so Europe, and you know this, one of, I think, the under talked about things when it comes to safety in pro sports is this idea of knowing who you're around with, because it's all a big orchestrated dance. And if all of a sudden you got people next to you that have just been called up, like Buddy from this weekend in Denver, who had not even met half of the team going into that, you're now in a situation where your safety on the field could be compromised with somebody there who's not used to doing the job at the level that your teammates usually do.
And I think that's why this situation in Baltimore is really troubling, in the sense that when it's, you're looking at one position group, about four quarterbacks that may not be available, you still know that for the large portion of your team, it's going to be, you know, you're still going to have that same feel when you go out there, the same instincts you have when you suit up against, you know, alongside your teammates. But when it's like a number of players, and I think we're up to 18 now that have been around tangential, and we're not even talking about staff, then you don't, like, it's not just one group and one set of players. And the players you count on one hand, it's like you look to your left, oh, this is someone new that's trying to understand something last minute, oh, to the right, like, oh, this is his first reps here, like, you're having to explain. And then on top of that, you're dealing with the anxieties of the situation waiting to travel. Like, that is a lot. And obviously, I think that's why these notices are coming out when it comes to fining, because I think if you, like, overall, what I learned from this week, and I think we all sort of like learned it over the course of the season, but like, this Denver situation became extremely crystal clear. We will move forward regardless. We will move forward regardless. And I think that's something that the players are starting to understand what that truly means this week.
Chiney Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So again, what's truly gone on and led to this situation where, again, Adam Schefter reporting that the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens game has been postponed again, this time until Wednesday, that since we had this saga start leading up to what was supposed to be played on Thanksgiving last week, over that time, at least a dozen players from the Baltimore Ravens have tested positive, including Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, their starting center, their starting fullback, and defensive end Calais Campbell. There have been at least 30 members of the Ravens organizations, from players to coaches and even the team nutritionists, who have tested positive or have been identified as high-risk close contacts since November 22nd. So, lots to keep an eye on with there. We're going to check in with our ESPN Steelers reporter, Brooke Pryor, in just about an hour to kind of get the other side of this, because the Steelers have been waiting on this call for a while now as well. And so to take the temperature on that situation, going to be extremely interesting, Chiney, because we know they felt some type of way about this before.
Oh, absolutely, because they were expected to play, what was it, Thursday, and then have all the way until this Wednesday off as like a celebration of like finally we, because I think they had their first bye week even jeopardized, and so now they were treating this week going, you know, after Thanksgiving as a bye week, and now they're sort of having this like cloud over their heads, like, okay, like we just are in a situation, even when things are going well for you, a team that's undefeated, these things are the, that's why I say like it's so impressive what the Steelers are doing, because they're able to consistently put together wins amidst all these situations like this, staying ready so that you don't have to get ready.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. So we will give you much more on that situation. Again, Brooke Pryor, our ESPN Steelers reporter, going to join us in about an hour here to talk about this. But, Chinee, that's on the side of things that is unpredictable because of the virus that's unique to this year. One of the things that's certainly a part of every year are turnover in the coaching ranks, questions about the future of certain organizations with their coaches, and what we're seeing go on right now with, I think, two teams in particular is an interesting split in this situation. You've got a very frustrated fan base right now in the Chicago Bears, watching what happened, obliterated by the Green Bay Packers last night on Sunday Night Football. Mitchell Trubisky back out there because of a Nick Foles injury, and people unsure of the future there. And then you've got what's going on in New York, where the Jets now remain defeated on this situation. And it's just getting flat-out weird, Chinee. Sam Darnold was back in the saddle for the Jets this weekend at quarterback. It did not change much of the outcome, and it did not change much of what we heard. Listen to this in the post-game press conference. Adam Gase, the head coach of this team, an offensive-minded head coach, was asked about had he resumed play-calling duties, since a lot of that had been the conversation coming back into this game. Trying to deny it and then being caught in what appears to be a lie in a soundbite that's just inexplicably cringeworthy. Here is him asked why he took over the play calling.
Adam, why did you take over the play calling?
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it, the drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dowell was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the third.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the two-minute stuff.
Chinee, like, I don't even know what to do with this situation anymore, because you and I talk about this all the time. You know, the head coach is always usually sending a message to the locker room and how they present themselves or what they're saying at the podium, but I don't know what message you can take from that other than there seems to be a complete lack of control and not even just a lack of transparency, because coaches get up in front of the mic and lie all the time, but just a lack of certainty on the part of Adam Gase right now about anything.
Honestly, listening to that and seeing that video, I kind of was just thinking, like, that's sort of what happens when you talk to a little kid that's scared about lying in their situation and they regurgitate, like, well, I didn't do that. Like, they get really defensive. They don't know what they're saying. And then finally you have to get, like, you have to get in the same page where you're like, oh, you are lying. And it just seems like we all were that parent in that moment. Like, what are you doing? We know exactly what the situation is. Now, I'm a very big, like, glass half full type of girl. And at this point, you know, the Jets, they don't have a lot to look forward to besides potentially being the best odds for the number one pick. So at least he's contributing to that, because those type of things can't make you better. And so that means maybe your odds are still high.
Well, Chinee, and that's what I keep wondering in this situation, because so many people look at both of these situations and wonder, why hasn't a move already been made in Chicago with Matt Nagy potentially? Because that's a team that the quarterback of their future is not on the roster. And if you miss on quarterback the way that Ryan Pace did as the GM there and Matt Nagy has been a part of, usually those fates are tied together in these situations. And it's clear, everyone watching last night, you don't got the quarterback of the future on the Bears roster right now. Versus on the other side, why the Jets haven't done it. And Chinee, what you just said is the only reason I can think of. Like, are you worried at this point about firing a coach and having what happened in Atlanta now, where they're 4-2 since firing Dan Quinn, maybe happening to your team? Like, it's become baffling at this point on both counts, and that's really the only thing resembling logic I can come up with.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, can we at least agree that this is probably as baffling as it is to watch and hear these things, you know, the situation where a coach is not showing any accountability and everything is floundering. The best case scenario is that he keeps doing this, because the Jets will then more likely than not secure their best pick ever. And so, like, if I'm watching this, I'm just like, you know what? It's already a dumpster fire. At least that dumpster fire better ensure us. Don't mess up messing up our pick. That's the only thing I can come to.
Right now, it looks like a controlled burn, at the very least, if you're the Jets, which is about the nicest thing that we can say about that organization. It's going to be interesting. I can't imagine, Chiney, how hellish it is going into work every day with everything you've got to do just to get to the field during the course of this year and then have the results look the way they have with the Jets and have your outward appearance be what this appears to be with Adam Gase, these moments where it looks like you're trying to say one thing and being proven to go with another. All of it very frustrating. And we're going to see how these teams manage it right now. But coming up next, Chiney, we got to take a look back at the highlight of the weekend, bar none. One of the strangest things we'll ever see on an NFL weekend and the point that it drives home and underscores. We'll get to that next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Again, coming up in just a little bit here, we will get to talk to our ESPN Steelers reporter, Brooke Pryor, about the situation around the Steelers-Ravens game. That, for anyone that's missed it, according to our own Adam Schefter and per league sources, that game has been postponed again until Wednesday. Now, the game was supposed to be played Tuesday of this week, and instead will be postponed as the cases and the positives in the Ravens organization, the outbreak there, still trying to get into a way way that they can possibly handle. It's Chiney Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Ogwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And it's interesting, Chiney, we had someone tweet us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, where you can always get at us, at Chiney, at Mike Golic Jr., and say, explain the difference between the Broncos, as that tweet moved right as I'm getting ready to read it. Here we go.
I got it.
This tweet, courtesy of
Chuck Standiford, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Explain the difference between the Broncos having no QB and the Ravens and Steelers postponed for almost a week. You got that?
Yeah, and in this instance, it's a pretty easy explanation. What's happened with the Ravens constitutes an outbreak on this team. We read it before, but I'll read it again here. Since November 22nd, in that organization, there have been at least 30 members, from players to coaches to even the team nutritionists, who have either tested positive or have been identified as high-risk close contacts since the start of November 22nd. So that difference in an outbreak that the NFL is waiting to see, all right, are they going to be able to go a day without new positive cases in this situation? Are those rolling states of positive cases going to create an issue that the NFL doesn't feel comfortable sending them out to be in close contact with another team, versus what went on? Contact tracing that hit one particular position room because of negligence on the part of that room in Denver. Not an outbreak that affected the rest of that roster or the team's ability to go travel safely and play against another team. That seems like the explanation of this situation, and it's why the Steelers and the Ravens find themselves in this situation now.
Michael, as Sal Palantonio calls you, Michael Golic Jr., what does that mean for the rest of us? Because I think we've all been dancing around this subject where these numbers are getting higher that teams are dealing with, and the league overall. We're dealing with a situation where people traveled, particularly for Thanksgiving, and, you know, in 2 weeks from now, we're concerned about what those effects can happen for the long term, the next few months, in the middle of trying to maintain a season, an NFL season. What does that force the hand of? What do you think should happen?
Well, I look at this, Chiney, and I'm surprised by a couple of things. One, I'm really surprised that this week 18 of the NFL hasn't been started to get more and more traction and talked about more. Because remember, we heard about this idea that if a certain number of games are moved around or postponed for the NFL down the stretch of the season, that it would trigger adding another playoff team to each side of this, where we know we were already going to have the expanded playoffs. Seven teams on each side this year, that it would go to eight, and that there would be that additional week of time added to the NFL season. We haven't heard anything about how many games it would actually take to trigger that, how this situation might lead to that situation in all of this. But it does underscore the idea for me, Chiney, that much like what you guys did in the WNBA bubble, what the NBA did, and more importantly, what Major League Baseball did as they got to their postseason, the NFL needs to look at some sort of bubble model, whether it is teams and their own individual bubbles once they get to the postseason, or trying to have games in places and sites where you can have multiple teams all in one spot that's much more controlled, because what's happening now is only going to get more difficult. We see it happen in college football, and we're certainly seeing some of it happen in the NFL right now.
I absolutely agree. I think, you know, the number of personnel, a lot of people have said, wow, why doesn't football just bubble? And the resources and the personnel involved in basketball is much smaller, much limited in scope. And we saw MLB actually make that transition as they were realizing. Remember when the MLB was going through, you know, situations where, oh, this team is, you know, like they were doing a lot of shuffling and everyone was concerned with the viability of this season. And then all of a sudden we started hearing conversations about, all right, postseason bubble. And I think the only asterisk that we put on those conversations is like we get to a postseason where Justin Turner ends up becoming positive, not having enough turnaround time to get that COVID test to know to not put him out there, right? So hopefully you learn from these seasons of the past if you're the NFL and you say, all right, like maybe it is necessary to start planning out and talking to teams and representatives about locations for a potential bubble for the postseason. And if so, we have to make sure these locations can turn around tests so that we don't look like the MLB in that situation. And then I also think, you know, one thing that you said that actually kind of resonated with me, and I don't know if it's just a funny aside, I remember Adam Schefter when we were about to start the season. He came on here on Chanel Goldring on ESPN Radio right now. Here we are on ESPN Plus 2. He said, hey, you know, win percentage can be a real option if things start getting messy down the stretch when it comes to the NFL season. And I was just thinking about the NFC East. Like, would that be a situation where you actually get people similar to what the NBA did with the bubble coming back, a number of teams, but then you end up like figuring out the best team out of those people and they make the playoffs? I do think that's an interesting aside.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting, as interested as we can be in what is categorically the worst division in all of football that we'll see on display tonight as the Eagles play the Seattle Seahawks. But, Chinay, the one thing that you brought up with Major League Baseball that becomes super interesting with me is what they managed to do before that very high-profile Justin Turner positive. They had gone 54 days without a positive test once they went to that bubble postseason format, getting together for different sites for the LCS games, ultimately leading to a World Series in Arlington. So I think just looking at that, it's not an instance to overreact and say, well, this is happening in so many places. No, it's like what we dealt with the Titans earlier this season where it's one spot, but it's saying, hey, this tremor is close enough to the prize. Why don't we give ourselves the best option in this situation? So we're going to see what the Steelers have in store for that option, what the Ravens have in store with this option, because the other part of this, and we got a tweet about this on the show from Central Coast in 83 that says, then they're going to have to play again in 4 days. Outside of the COVID part, the close games doesn't seem fair either. The Ravens need to just take the L, but part of what was collectively bargained, it makes this even more complicated, is if this game isn't played, nobody gets paid. And we know that even in all the difficulty of this situation, it still comes down to dollars and collectively bargained cents in this spot for these teams. So we will get an update on that situation. We're going to take an insight and get a look into how the Steelers are handling all of this as they wait to get answers about a team that they cannot control. We will get all of those answers after this word from ButcherBox. No one likes to actually go to the grocery store, especially during holidays. That's why there's ButcherBox. From free-range organic chicken to heritage-breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops, ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat to choose from, and their boxes ship fresh right to your door. Sign up today at ButcherBox.com/CJR and get free bacon, full stop, free bacon for the life of your membership. That's right, you get one pack of bacon for free. Every box for the life of your membership. What are you doing? Sign up at butcherbox.com/CJR. Back after this, Chanay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up next, could one conference have actually undermined its own best bid for the college football playoff? We'll get to that race and the mess that's going on at that
level.
That's
not hard.
In just 10 minutes. It really isn't. There's unfortunately a fair amount of answers that could be true for that tease. It's Chanay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Michael Jr. and Chanay Agwumike. But before we get to that, we got to figure out what the hell is going on in the NFL right now. The Steelers and the Ravens have had their game postponed again by the NFL. And for more on the reaction from Pittsburgh's point of view, we're delighted to be joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by our ESPN Steelers reporter, Brooke Pryor. And Brooke, we appreciate the time and full transparency here. You tweeted that you were hopping on the show with us. I quote tweeted it, reminding people to come on. And you said, going to try and make a little sense of the nonsensical situation. And Pittsburgh Steelers defensive tackle Cam Hayward responded, have fun with it. What is the reaction like from these guys in the locker room from what you've heard really over the last week at this point?
I mean, look, at this point, I think the best illustrations of the reaction, A, there's no words, and A, Bud Dupree tweeted out a bunch of crying, laughing emojis. So that's, yes, that is one reaction. And then I believe it was Terrell Edmonds tweeted out the Obama gif of just holding his hands up in the air. Like, that's all this team can do right now. Like, we've run out of words, I think, to describe the situation, so we're resorting to gifs and emojis. Because that's kind of that expresses everything about how they feel. I mean, this has been kind of an emotional roller coaster since a week ago when this game was postponed initially, the day before, and you saw Steelers players tweeting out how upset they were that their schedule was being changed again for the second time this season after the situation with the Titans. And then by the time we talked to Cam Hayward and Mike Tomlin yesterday, it seemed like there was some more acceptance that had set in, like, okay, it's not that, you know, this virus is unfairly targeting us. It's a virus. It doesn't target one team or try to hurt one team's chances. We're just dealing with it the way that the only way we know how, which is just focusing on the task at hand and controlling what we can control. And now, I mean, I don't think that this team is so much upset as they're just kind of holding their hands up. Like, what else can you do? They'll show up when there's a game at this point.
Oh, that's perfect. Here with Brooke Pryor, ESPN Steelers reporter with us here on Chinee and Golic Jr. Chinee Ogwumike, Michael Jr. here. Now, I think that's perfect because I think I checked your Twitter background and you had that The Last Dance Michael Jordan security guard, like like the shrug. So you guys are all in sync. I see what you did there. But now the news, you know, today we finally got the news that they're now moving it to Wednesday, the game. Now, how do you see the Steelers moving in, forward with preparation again now starting on Wednesday?
You know, this is a team that is incredibly regimented, starting from Mike Tomlin all the way down. And I will be interested to see how they adapt, because they started kind of their 48-hour timer yesterday after practice for going through all the pregame stuff. They had their walkthrough this morning. They were treating today as the Saturday pregame before home game. Everything was normal from what I was told. The walkthrough was normal. They had two guys come off the COVID list. So things were going kind of exactly how they were supposed to. And now it's going to be like Groundhog Day. They're going to wake up tomorrow and go through the whole thing all over again. You know, I think that they're going to try to stick to their routine as best as they can, but it is going to feel strange. And then I think they're looking at the fact that now they've got to play the Washington football team. Right now, that game is still scheduled for Sunday. The guys that I've talked to on the team hope that it gets pushed to Monday so that they're not playing their next game on just 3 days preparation and rest. I don't see how that game can go on as scheduled. But, I mean, they're just having to roll with it. And as Mike Tomlin has told us a million times this season, have a hardcore plan but be light on our feet. And this team has pivoted. And just, I mean, we've almost come a full 360 at this point, the way that things have gone the last week.
Brooke Pryor with us, our ESPN Steelers reporter on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golick Jr., Chinee Ogwumike here, a full 360. And yet somehow in all of this, they're undefeated. And Brooke, I guess I'm curious of that. What is it about this team as you've been around them during the course of this season? Because we know they were affected earlier this year by what happened with Tennessee. And Mike Tomlin was that same brand of resolute about not letting these things affect them. What is it about that group and that locker room that's been able to not only adapt to these situations, but thrive in a level no other team has?
I mean, look, this is the season where I think everyone is appreciating Mike Tomlin and his consistency. We've seen, you know, behind the scenes, what Mike Tomlin can do for a locker room. And a lot of times it feels like we learn after the fact, to learn how he was managing the Antonio Brown situation in the locker room, learn how he's, you know, manage some other personnel situations. But now we're seeing it play out in real time, what a calming influence he can be on the Steelers organization and what a leader he can be for this team, because he, like I said earlier, he really sets the tone, and his ability and his messaging, I think, in a season when everything is so up in the air, he's a guy that everyone can kind of look to as being the same consistent guy no matter what, no matter if the quarterback's on the COVID list, no matter if the other team is having an outbreak and it puts their schedule in doubt. I think that he is just being really steadfast, and that is huge this year. And then you also have a situation where Ben Roethlisberger is back at quarterback, and he's another guy that has been, I think, a calming influence in this locker room. And at the same time, the energy that he brought this season coming back after not playing last year, everyone, especially on the offensive side, is rallying around that. And I just think that, those two people, coupled with just the veteran experience as a whole on this team, is really the perfect recipe for a team in a pandemic where things keep shifting. The standard is the standard. It doesn't matter, you know, how many people are out, when the game is played. It's going to be, you know, the Steelers, the Pittsburgh way, and that is really helping them out this season.
Brooke, you took the words right out of my mouth. It is such big, the standard is the standard energy going on right now in that building, and it extends clearly into the media as well, covering there. So always good to see. Brooke, you are the standard. We appreciate the time and the information today.
Amen.
I'm sure we'll talk to you very soon as we keep riding this roller coaster.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Brooke Pryor, our ESPN Steelers reporter, absolutely awesome in trying to navigate what is an incredibly uncertain situation, to say the least.
You know what's really funny? Like, her personality makes us feel like everything's going to be all right.
It does. Like, it's just super. Like, I do feel a lot better after talking to Brooke. She was really good at that. So, no wonder this has helped this team stay upbeat in this entire situation. By the way, I enjoy, for everyone watching on ESPN Plus right now, that they're watching Chinee furiously grasping off screen, trying to find something and failing what appears to be miserable.
I think I know. I feel like I'm doing it right, right? Isn't it a read?
That is true. Chinee is preparing. And so while Chinee tries to prepare to get the bills paid around here with the read that she is responsible for, I will pass along some bit of news here from our own Adam Schefter. According to our own Adam Schefter, the Texans wide receiver Will Fuller announced on Instagram that he has been suspended 6 games for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing substances policy. This is interesting. So, Will Fuller on his Instagram said, "Earlier this year, I sought treatment from a medical professional who prescribed medication that he believed to be permitted under the NFL's drug policy. As it turns out, my trust in this professional was misplaced because this medication was not permitted by the substance under the NFL policy on performance-enhancing substances. As a result of this mistake, I have been suspended for 6 games for taking this prohibited medication. I want to sincerely apologize to the Texans organization and all of my fans for this mistake. I am looking forward to putting this all behind me and returning better than ever in 2021. And Chinee, hearing that, it's a reminder that in all these situations, no matter what, and he has made it clear that he believes he was given advice, medical advice, by someone he trusts, ultimately you are responsible for what you are putting into your body as a professional athlete. You know this. All of these are collectively bargained policies around performance-enhancing drugs. Everyone is aware of these things, and so in this situation, it is unfortunate because we see this happen, unfortunately, all too often.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And again, these are things that happen over the course. Like, it honestly feels like when it rains, it pours. And these are things that we see in seasons, right? In isolated incidences. And so we see it now in this season. And now you just have to think about those type of things are compounded based on the nature of COVID and what teams are up against. So again, this is, you know, it's something that we hear happening time and time again, unfortunately. But now you start feeling for the Texans, who now like have additional challenges on a season where it seems like we're so far behind the starting blocks.
So far behind indeed, and struggling mightily to catch up at this point. We will stick with the NFL. We've got plenty more on that coming up in a little bit. We'll get you ready for what's coming up on Monday Night Football here in the next hour. But coming up next, we go from the Big Ten to the Big Sad, and somehow we're going to make that make sense. We'll do that after this word from AT&T.
Now, there are a lot of reasons to like AT&T 5G. For example, maybe you're Tyreek Hill in single coverage. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because guess what? You're fast. Maybe you're Derrick Henry with the rock at the goal line. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because you're secure. Or maybe you're Frank Gore and haven't missed a day of work in 17 years. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because guess what? You are reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G. It's fast, secure, and reliable, and now it is everywhere nationwide. AT&T 5G, it is not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. Back after this, it's Janae Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
As we're getting ready to come back on air here, our producer Devin gets in my ear and says maybe the truest thing, maybe the only true thing that we know in all of sports right now. Chinee Igwuma Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinee Igwuma K. Chinee, we know right now, we just got the news. We talked to our ESPN Steelers reporter Brooke Pryor about the game that had been postponed yet again for them. Steelers and Ravens postponed from Tuesday to Wednesday after being moved from Thursday to Sunday to Tuesday to now Wednesday. And so, we look at this situation and we wondered, well, what might happen with their game against the Washington football team that's coming up the following Sunday? Per Adam, Devin, this is Adam Schefter, correct, that tweeted this? Per Adam Schefter?
Yes, Albert Breer originally reported.
Albert Breer originally reporting that the Steelers game against the Washington football team that was supposed to be December 6th this upcoming weekend is now going to be moved to December 7th on Monday. So going in line with what Brooke Pryor, our ESPN Steelers reporter, said there. And as we are coming on air, Devin Kane says in my ear, the one true thing in sports right now about the undefeated Steelers being put in this situation, the only happy people in the world about this are the 72 Dolphins, who continue to get ready and arm themselves with the champagne to pop bottles and preserve their status as the only team in recent memory to go undefeated in the NFL, Janae.
And I think following that up with, of course, you know what I like to do, get in the messy, get in the trenches, with a tweet that was retweeted by our producer, Shannon Penn, by friend of the show, Zach Banner, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Adam Schefter, at Adam Schefter, knew about the game before we did, .. Life, 2020.
Man, ain't that the realest situation known to man, known to sports, Chinee? You're finding out if you're traded. You're finding out when your game is being played because of our pals, Adam Schefter and Adrian Wojnarowski here, out here doing the work. We like to do the work as long as they do the work. We've got some things we need to get off our chest around here. It's been a little while since we've been here after the holiday week, so let's hit one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
Because, Janae, while we've got all this uncertainty going on in the NFL, we've also got a ton of uncertainty in the college ranks right now. And a reminder that the Big Ten made their bed before the season with the way leadership decided to handle this entire situation. And now they might have to sleep in it. Because what we're staring at down the stretch of the season, Janae, Ohio State, whose game against Illinois was already canceled, who's got a game upcoming this weekend against Michigan State that could be in jeopardy because, remember, in the Big Ten, if you test positive, you're dealing with a 21-day return to play. And a situation where if down the stretch, Ohio State right now, who sits at 4-0, has one or both of their games to end the season against Michigan State and Michigan canceled, could find themselves ineligible for the conference's championship game. Remember, the Big Ten requires six games to be eligible for the conference championship. And so we might be in for the situation now, Chinee, where barring an epic collapse, barring 12 of 14 games being postponed towards the end of the season and all this nonsense happening, we may get Northwestern as your champions of the Big Ten West, who, remember, we just saw watch as the number 8 team in the country lose to Michigan State this past weekend, play against Indiana, a team 5-1 right now in the Big Ten East, who just got the news that their star quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., unfortunately will be lost for the remainder of the season due to a lower leg injury. All the while, their college football playoff standing could still hang in the balance, technically, Janae, but we know that resume going to be more difficult than ever to justify if they only walk into this with four, maybe five games, Janae. And so it's a reminder that as we're going to look, no conference has done this right. It hasn't been done perfectly or even close to that by anyone involved in this process. We've seen the mess in the ACC, what the Pac-12 is dealing with right now. No one is limited to this, but for the Big Ten, we know they made the most noise this offseason, and now it seems like the one team they made that noise for might be the one that's left out.
If Northwestern still finds a way to finesse and win a Big Ten, do you know how hard it'll be with all the Northwesterners here at ESPN? Oh my gosh. Good thing I'm in LA, okay?
Brutal to try and make
that
happen.
Dose of reality, my turn, because we need an uplift here. Now, one of the sayings that we love to preach around locker rooms is stay ready so you don't have to get ready, right? Well, in 2020, that has really been sort of our rallying cry. It's been an unprecedented circumstance to pull off a season. People are playing in bubbles. There are no fans or limited people in stands. There are expanded rosters. And speaking of expanded rosters, speaking of which, this past weekend, some history was made. At Vanderbilt, Sarah Fuller, a goalkeeper on Vandy women's soccer team, who, by the way, she helped lead to an SEC title with the soccer team, became the first woman to play football in a Power 5 game and was just named SEC Special Teams Player of the Week. Now, after all their kickers were unavailable due to COVID, it's been a tough, you know, season for Vandy and head coach Derek Mason, who I love and respect since my days at Stanford where he was D coordinator. But this move was inspired by so many and has inspired so many. And it's very similar to what we saw with Kendall Hinton, right, of the Broncos, going from practice squad wide receiver to now starting quarterback. This is just 2020. And so when I tell you, showing up for those that you love, especially this year, that matters the most. And I think this weekend we really got a great reminder of that all.
You're right. Big snaps up, Sarah Fuller. What a momentous occasion. One of the coolest things I saw, Anish Shroff, who works with us, his daughter Athena became an internet sensation for pronouncing DJ Uiagalelei's name right, but was also shown on the internet excited this week because she saw a girl getting ready to play football. What cooler moment than that for some young eyes getting ready to watch? We'll switch gears back to the NFL next on Shenan Golic Jr.